Good morning. It is February 14th, Valentine's Day. What a day to talk about the love of God. And let's start off by saying that the love of God is given to the world through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the way the God of love shows His love to mankind. For God so loved the world, everyone in the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. So whoever believes in the Son, whoever receives the love of God through His Son, will not be condemned, will not perish, but can have everlasting life. Can you experience the love of God outside of His Son? No. God is love, but He has chosen that His love will be given to the world through His Son, Jesus Christ. Those who do not obey the Son, those who do not believe in the Son, those who do not live in His Son and abide in His Son through the Holy Spirit cannot experience the personal love of God, though God loves them because He gave His Son for the world. And His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified for the sins of the entire world. So it's not just the believers, those who've come to know His Son personally, who receive forgiveness of sin. The sins of the entire world were paid for. And John the Apostle made this very clear in his letter of 1 John. But he also made clear that this love of God is channeled through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way for anyone to experience the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the reconciliation to God the Father, and the privilege of becoming His son or daughter is through receiving His love through Jesus Christ. Because if we do not receive Jesus Christ as the Son of God and live in Him, we will not experience the love of God that He has for us. You know, God demonstrated His love, as Paul said in Romans chapter 5 for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, proving the demonstration of God's love is His Son. It's always through His Son. All that God desires to do for those He loves, He will do through His Son. There is no other way to experience the love of God outside of His Son. This is why Jesus said, "Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction." There are thousands of ways that men try to relate to God, but there is only one way to genuinely experience God in reality and to know the love of God personally. And that's why Jesus said, "But straight is the way and small is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it." Jesus unashamedly said that He was, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Me." So if we want to experience the love of God, we must receive His love through the love He showed the world through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, in speaking to His own disciples there in John 15, where the great analogy of Jesus being the vine and the disciples and the believers being the branches, He told His disciples that as the Father had loved Him, so He loved them. Then He said to them, "Abide," or remain, "continue in My love." And then He qualified what it means to abide, to continue, to remain. He qualified it by saying, if you obey my commands, or if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. In the same way that I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And he added just a few verses down, you are my friends if you do what I command. It's interesting, the word friends is based upon the Greek word phileo. Phileo is brotherly love. So the noun philos is friend. A philema in the Greek is means to kiss. It's the affection between friends. There is a difference between God being love, which is that word there is agape. He loves in general. He places a supreme value upon all of his creation, all men and women. But the personal aspect of love, where God and his creation become friends, they have a personal and intimate relationship, is limited to those who keep his commands. And this is not new. This is a message that we had even from the beginning, even in God's declaration of his 10 sayings from Mount Sinai to the nation of Israel that we have come to call the 10 commandments. God made it very clear that I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. This is the same message that we have heard today. Jesus Christ did not come to change a single thing his Father had ever said. No one ever agreed more perfectly with the Heavenly Father than the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why he said, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy them. I've come to fulfill them. I tell you the truth that until heaven and earth pass away, not even the slightest stroke of a pen, not even the least jot or tittle shall by any means pass from the law till all things are fulfilled. And one of the things that Jesus Christ came to fulfill is to so dynamically transform those who come to him through faith into a new creation, circumcising their old, insensitive, sin-corrupted heart so that they could fulfill God's command that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus Christ, through the transformation of the Word and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, we become new creations in Christ. Old things pass away, all things become new, and we begin to live in a personal knowledge, having our own personal relationship with God as our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this relationship is maintained by faith through keeping the words of the Lord Jesus. We continue in the love of God. We continue in the love of Jesus Christ. And we are his friends if we do what he says. This is what James says in the book of James chapter 2. When that chapter that we remember speaks about faith without works, being dead, being alone. Then James takes us back to when the Lord revealed to Abraham that he was to take his son Isaac and offer up his son Isaac on the altar. Because Abraham obeyed, the scripture says there in James that God credited it to Abraham as righteousness. The same statement that was made back in Genesis chapter 12 when Abraham looked up and he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Here, James says that because Abraham followed through and obeyed what the Lord had asked him to do in offering up his son Isaac on the altar, that this obedience was accredited to him as righteousness. And then it says that his faith was made perfect through his works. This is something that we need to kind of understand. There is no such thing as a faith in Jesus Christ that does not include following through with obedience. Paul taught in all the Gentile world the obedience of faith, because there is no such thing as a faith that's only placed in something God has done. There are those who think they're going to heaven because they have believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. But if that faith is genuine, it can never be completed until it goes on to receiving the entire person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you, of course, you receive his words. And as you receive his words by faith, that faith is not completed until you act on those words. We simply call that obedience. It's simply the outer working of faith. The righteous live by faith. But there's no such thing as a faith that's only in something that has happened. Our faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. And we cannot separate the person of Jesus Christ from his words. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If we think we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, John says this, if a man says, I know Jesus Christ, but he does not keep Jesus' commands, John said the man is lying, that the truth is not in that man, because you cannot separate faith in the person of Jesus Christ from faith in his words. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that Jesus only spoke what the Father gave him to say, that he only did what the Father showed him to do, then to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe in the entire person and all his words. We show our genuine faith and our love for God by responding to his words in obedience. And that is the completion of faith. That is how faith is made perfect. Faith is made perfect when we respond by faith in actually doing what the Lord says. That is how our faith is made complete. That is how our spiritual life is also made complete. That is how we grow up into the fullness of our salvation. And John put it this way in the very next verse, after that verse 3, where he says, if anyone says, I know him, but does not keep his commands, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. But do you see someone who is keeping his commands? In this person, here's what you can recognize. The person who is keeping the Lord Jesus' commands, in that person, the love of God has been perfected. That's love in its perfect and full and complete operation. Because John understood this is love for God, to keep his commands. That is how we show our love for our Heavenly Father. Of course, because we love him, we cherish his words. And because of the new desire that grace and the Holy Spirit has created in us, we delight to do his will. So that's why John says that his commands are not burdensome. When we have been so touched by the genuine grace of God, when we have received mercy, when the old dullness and hardness and calloused, sin-infected heart has been circumcised away, and we're given a new heart of flesh, and we've been cleansed from the corruption of sin, And the laws of God have been written on our hearts and our minds, and the Spirit of God has been poured into us, and the Spirit is willing, and the Spirit is longing. What it produces in us is a longing to do the will of God as a privilege. It becomes a delight. We genuinely become one with Jesus Christ, who it was said of him that in the volume of the book, I delight to do thy will. So the person who's been genuinely born again and has experienced a transformation, who's a new creation in Christ, he's gone from looking at God's commands as restrictive and prohibitive and as if I really wish I could do those things, but I can't because God says that they're wrong and I'm not allowed to do those things. Now, that's the old way of looking at those things. Sin is deceitful, and even though it's pleasurable for a season, we have been completely transformed, and as our minds have been renewed, our lives are transformed so that now the things that we once thought gain, we count them loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. We even consider them rubbish so that we can gain Christ. What does it mean to gain Christ? To please him, to be one with him, to live in him, to abide in him, for him to look at us and to completely finish his own perfect will in us, because we know that we've been chosen by God through Christ Jesus for this one purpose, to these good works that God uses to glorify his name, to show himself holy before the eyes of the world, because we are, remember what Paul said, we are God's workmanship. He is crafting in our lives something beautiful to set before the world so that they can see who he really is by watching the transformation that is taking place in our lives. As they see our progressive transformation being conformed into the image of Christ, they see his righteousness in our conduct and character. They see his meekness in our conduct and character. They see his wisdom, his understanding, his purity, his holiness, and his name is then honored and respected and reverenced through the transformed lives of his people. And all of this is empowered through this faith working through love. Through our receiving the love of God through Jesus Christ, coming to Jesus Christ in faith, we are then born again of the seed of Jesus Christ. We receive the Holy Spirit through which the love of God is poured out into our hearts, and the great work of sanctification and transformation begins. Old things pass away. All things become new because there is this faith working through love. And now we are delighting to do the will of God. Our discernment, our understanding, our knowledge as we grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ becomes fuller and fuller. And the things that are now sinful, deceitful, we shun. Our nature is now that which is pure, that which is right, that which is holy, that which is clean, that which is a blessing to others, that which is pleasing in the eyes of God. We no longer live by deceitful lust. That's the way we lived in the past. That's how our old man was, the one that was being corrupted by deceitful lives. Now, through partaking of the divine nature, we actually share in the same spirit and love that Jesus had towards his Father. That love is being perfected in us as we abide in Christ, and as the Spirit of Christ and as Jesus Christ dwelling in us becomes fully formed, and we mature in this and we grow in this, the love of God at work in us And this love that now we are able to express towards God becomes a delight to do his will. And his commands then are, they're pleasant to do. They're not burdensome. This picture was there for us, even in the Old Testament, in the law. Have you ever been spent much time thinking about the law of the bondservant? Are you familiar with it? In the law, if an Israelite came into a tragic situation where he became so indebted he could not pay his debts, he could actually market himself. He could sell his years of service in repayment for a debt. So he would voluntarily enslave himself to someone to repay the debt. And this temporary enslavement, it was never to become permanent unless the person actually chose to remain a slave. Every 7 years, debts were canceled, and the bond servant was to be set free. Well, the law of the bond servant states it this way, that in the seventh year, when it's time for debts to be canceled and for the servant to be released, that the owner was to make sure he sends his Israelite brother away with blessings and an abundance so that he can go and live in his liberty again. If at that juncture, the slave who was about to be set free was thought it over in his heart and said, my life has never been as good and peaceful and abundant as it has been serving this master, he could publicly state to his master and to those in the community that he voluntarily was relinquishing his freedom to voluntarily become this man's servant for life out of love. That he so loved his master that he did not want to leave and return to his former life. He chose to be this man's servant for life. That ceremony was publicly certified through that servant being taken to a door, and sharp pointed object was to pierce a hole in his ear. And that hole in his ear marked him as a bondservant, so that those around the community saw that hole, they realized this man chose to be a bondservant for the rest of his life. This is what it says of the Lord Jesus, the sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired. With the blood of bulls and goats you were not pleased, though the law required them to be made. But my ears they have pierced. Jesus served his Father not with sacrifice and offerings. He did not need to make any sacrifice and offering for his own sin. He never sinned. His heart from the beginning was in love of his Father, doing his Father's will. He grew in wisdom and stature, in favor of God and man. And he grew and became strong in spirit. And even at the beginning of his ministry, the life he lived before his Heavenly Father was so pleasing the Father that at the baptism, the heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven in the form of a dove and lighted upon Jesus. And God declared in the hearing of those that were there, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And God's pleasure in the Lord Jesus Christ was the fact that Jesus lived to do the will of the Father, that he would not speak on his own. He spoke only what the Father gave him to say. He did not act on his own. He acted only what the Father showed him to do. And he said to his disciples that the world must learn that he loves the Father and does exactly what the Father says. When this love is in the life of a believer, our delight is to do the will of God. It's not a burdensome. This is our desire. This is where we gain our joy. That's what Jesus told his disciples. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy would be filled. What brought joy to the Lord Jesus Christ was doing the will of the Father. And the believer who is genuinely being filled with the love of God, who is experiencing the love of God, has a delight to do the will of God. And he sees the commands of God in the same way that the Lord Jesus saw them. Jesus said, I know that the commands of my Father are eternal life. I happen to be reading in Proverbs 14 today, and it says that the commands of God are a spring of life, turning a man away from the snares of death. And Jesus certainly understood that his Father's words were pure and good. They were always for men's best. God always spoke his words so that it might go well with us. If our heart is right, if grace has genuinely begun to be at work in us, this grace is training us like children. It's training us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust so that we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, because we are compelled by the love of Christ. And Christ in us and the Holy Spirit in us, God himself working in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, causes such a transformation that we shine like stars in the universe as we hold forth the word of life. And for us, life is doing the will of our Father. For us, it's keeping his commands, because his commands are not burdensome. We have the love of God at work in our hearts, and faith working through love causes our joy to abound in doing the will of God, because we genuinely know our Heavenly Father. And nothing brings us greater joy than pleasing him and doing his will. So let me just try to make sure we don't miss this. This is the love that God has for us. His love for us is in and through Jesus Christ. And only someone who receives Jesus Christ can receive this love of God. And then this entire transformation, this regeneration begins to take place. Old things begin to pass away. All things begin to become new. And one of the marked signs, one of the evidences, one of the things to look for in the life of someone who is genuinely abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ is that faith is working itself through love, and that love is expressing itself in delighting to keep the commands of the Lord Jesus, because they are not burdensome. They are delight. We see them as truth. We're asking the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Things have so changed. Our heart has been changed. Our mind has been changed that we now see the difference between the desires, the pure and righteous and holy desires of the Holy Spirit, and the deceitful, corrupt desires of the old man and the world. And that's one of the other demarcations between those who genuinely love God and those who do not. John put it this way in 1 John chapter 2, to the believers, do not love the world or anything that is in the world. If any man loves the world or the things that are in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes the lust of the flesh, the sinful pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away. But those who do the will of the Father, they will abide forever. There are two natures. There is the nature of Christ, and then there's the nature of the spirit of Antichrist. There's that nature that of corruption that we inherited from Adam when sin entered the world, and sin therefore spread to all men and death through sin. There's that corruption, that nature. And when you see that nature is comfortable in the eyes of the world. For example, a pig, if you take a pig and you take him out of his hogwash, his slop and his mud and his environment that he likes, and you bring him out and you clean him up, if you let him choose a clean environment or the environment according to his nature, he will choose according to his nature, and he will return to the filth that his nature is comfortable with. So when you see someone who claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ and claims to love the Heavenly Father, but their nature is comfortable with the corrupt things of the world, the love of the Father is not in them. That's not the nature's Father. Now, there is a war. There is a war, and it may take time for this to become fully manifest, because we do know that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So we should clarify and say a person cannot stay in the world. They cannot continue in the corrupt things of the world. If they have been born of the Spirit, they will not be comfortable in the world or the things of the world. They will be drawn to righteousness. They will be drawn to purity. They will be drawn to holiness because the Spirit of Christ dwells in them. And John made it very clear that if you are abiding in Christ, if you are abiding in the love of God, you just can't go on in your life of sinning. It's not possible. Everyone who just goes on continually in that life of sinning, they've not even seen or known God really. They may have heard about, and they may have experienced something, but the genuine evidence that you are abiding in Jesus Christ, that his nature is at work in you, his spirit, that the laws of God are written on your heart and your mind, is that the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of Christ, the goodness of Christ, the meekness of Christ, the self-control of Christ is transforming you. The old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. You are a new creation marked by a love for the commands of God. So it is a delight to keep the commands of God. In this person, this is the person that the love of God is really working like it's designed to do. In this person is the love of God made perfect. And so we just need to understand that the world, and I'm afraid that has crept into the church, the world has turned the focus too much upon that God loves you just the way you are, and it's unstated, but it's somewhat understood, and you can just come that way and stay. Well, I appreciate all those fellow ministers, all true believers who know that, yes, God receives us in the terrible state that we are, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But he died to transform us from the old man we were in Adam to the new creations we are created to become in Christ Jesus. And we are created for this purpose, that God can fulfill the very reason he stated in making the new covenant. The first covenant became obsolete when God said, I'm going to make a new covenant. And the reason he was going to make a new covenant is his own people, the people he poured so much effort and time and mercy and grace into. He raised up prophets for them. He gave them his law. He disciplined them. He did all he could to try to bring them into the relationship he desired to have with them. And yet it did not work. His people did not remain in that covenant. So he declared he would make a new one. But the new covenant would be made of an entirely new type of person. The person that God himself would gather from the world, cleanse them of all their impurities, remove the callousness of their heart, place within them a sensitive, God-fearing, God-honoring heart. He would place his spirit in them, and he would inspire them to walk in his ways so that through this transformed conduct, through this new creation that God himself by his own power does and accomplishes in the life of the believer, the world can see God for who he really is. And the lives of the new covenant people honor God. They cause his name to be honored. God shows himself holy before the eyes of the nations through the character and the conduct of our lives, those who are genuinely abiding in Christ, those who really have faith working through love. And you know what's beautiful is that as faith works through love, and as we begin to delight to do the Word of God, as we do the Word of God, we are blessed in the doing. The Word itself begins to cleanse us. We receive in meekness the implanted Word, and the Word begins to save our souls. It saves our soul from deception. It saves our souls from addictions. It saves our souls from all the old deceitful practices that we were when sin was our master, when we lived formerly through by our deceitful lust. Now, having been born again of his Spirit and living and abiding in Christ, maintaining that relationship, continuing in that relationship by faith, obeying the words of Christ, the life of Christ working in us perfects that image of Christ in us. And over time, we become more and more conformed to his image. And here's what the world sees. They see sons and daughters that have been born of God, born from above, born by the Holy Spirit, with a new mind and a new heart that now sees truth as God's mercy and grace. And we see his commands as life and liberty and protection and guidance and counsel. We even receive his discipline as he's a loving father who's disciplining us so that we can share in his holiness. Gone are these feelings of he's restrictive, he's too strict, he's a hard man. Those attitudes are the attitudes of the corrupt old man and its deceitful desires. It's the lazy, wicked servant who views the master as a hard man. God's ways are pleasant ways. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that when you take the yoke of the Lord Jesus upon you, you find rest for your souls. He's meek and lowly of heart. And our delight as we come to know the Lord Jesus, we see he genuinely did come. He was sent by God to set us free from our sins, to save us out of our sins. And of course, sin being missing the mark. And you know what mark is missed more than anything? The mark that every single thing that God says is good. And his entire heart for mankind is that it would go well with us. And when we experience the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, when we receive the love of God for us in Christ Jesus, we genuinely are restored unto God, reconciled on every point. And this was the prayer of our Lord. This was our prayer in John 17. If you want to look again or to consider again and see the heart of the Father and the Lord Jesus at work, read the prayer of Jesus in John 17, and you will see that this is the goal. He prayed, and this was toward the end of the chapter. Jesus prayed that the love that the Father has for him would be in the believers. This is that place where we are brought into unity with this beautiful relationship that the Father has with the Son, that through the renewal and the work of the Holy Spirit, we agree with our Heavenly Father the way Jesus agreed with him. We see him as good as Jesus saw him as good. We are in perfect agreement with our Father and the Son. This is the point of unity, the point of oneness, where we are dwelling in the love of God. This is only possible through receiving Jesus Christ. So when we say to those people in our lives that we are witnessing to, when we say to them that God loves you, please remember, yes, God does love them. But God's love for them and the entire world is given and limited to Jesus Christ. If we desire for them to experience the love of God, they must experience the love of God through Jesus Christ. God is love. And in his love, he sent his beloved Son, so that whosoever believeth in him may not perish. There is no ability to experience the love of God outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 16, and it highlights the difference between God's general love, agape, and his personal love, phileo. In verse 25 through 27, I'll just read this short passage. Jesus said to his disciples, though I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. And in that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Here, Jesus uses the words phileo, not agape, the personal love. The Father has a personal love for each of you, not the general love of the world. He has a personal love for you because you have developed a personal love for me. That's the love that Abraham had. Abraham had the relationship with God where God called Abraham his friend. He was in a personal relationship with him because Abraham believed and obeyed God, and God called him his friends. And this is what our Lord Jesus has said to us. We are his friends. We are those with a personal love for him if we keep his commands. The person who says, I know him, but is not keeping his commands, that person does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That person has not really come to know God as they ought to know. It could be that they are very young in the faith, just an infant, and that they have seen very little of the work of sanctification and transformation in their life. But that's a dangerous place to stay, because the genuine evidence, the real evidence that we have been born of the Spirit of God is that we have been given a new heart and a new mind, and that God is now at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His laws are written on our hearts and our minds, and the very Spirit of love is being shed abroad into our hearts so that his commands are not burdensome. We delight to do his will. It's a joy. This is how our joy is fulfilled. We have the very same joy that the Lord Jesus has, and that joy is doing the will of our Father. This is the kind of love of God we need to be speaking about. The kind of love of God that manifests itself in, we delight to keep his word. We're obedient children. We love our Father, and we don't conform to those former desires we lived in when we were in ignorance. No, now we're holy in all we do because our Father is holy, and he told us, be holy as I'm holy. And Father, we want to be pleasing to you, and we love you, and your word is wonderful, and we thank you for speaking it to us. It's our delight to do it. That's only possible in Christ. Only those who receive Jesus Christ can experience that transformation and come to the place where this love is perfected in them. And like John says, the way we know that this love is really perfected in someone is when they're keeping God's commands. That's how we know. So may the Lord give us greater insight and understanding into the way he genuinely loves us, and the genuine response that we return to him, because we know we love him only because he first loved us. What does that love look like? Oh, it's wonderful to have you as our Father. And your word is such a delight. And your will is so great. It's our delight to keep your word. That's our word for the day.